told me to.
A couple more for you.
Well, hey, trying to get some of my resource people involved.
Hey, Gary. Johnny Carr or Jack Carr.
Unfortunately, the next 2 weeks I am training. I'll be back in the office on the 17th.
Come on, Tom and Jens, I see you out there. They can't hear me. Tom Henderson and Jens Pierman. Call this meeting to order. Roll call. Vice Chair Shirk. Here. Member Wurst.
Here.
Member Ozawa.
Here.
Member Pierman.
Here.
Member Trenowitz.
Present.
Quorum is present. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Carson City Shade Tree Council meeting. Welcome all. Any public comment? I know at least I have two public comments coming at me. First one up. Anyone? Public comments.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Tom.
It is Tom Henderson, a former member of the Shade Tree Council, currently practicing arboriculture in Carson City under the corporate name of Healthy Trees. Let's see. I want to notify you of a tree pruning seminar at Greenhouse Garden Center on the 14th of March. That is a Saturday. David Ruff and I will be talking about tree pruning, followed by a live demonstration of tree pruning and probably some shrub pruning as well. I understand you're doing a tree inventory soon. I wanted to encourage Roger's department to talk to the streets department and public works about what their interests are. We did an inventory as a Shade Tree Council of volunteers back in 93, somewhere in there, and it wasn't used. And so I just wanted to encourage the staff to talk to each other, and different departments have different needs, and most of the trees are actually street trees and not parks trees. So I just wanted to encourage them to note things like hangers, broken branches, and, you know, sign obstructions when they see it. And I'll sit down and wait for the next commenter. Yeah. Thanks.
Do I need to introduce myself?
Yes, please, for
the record. Okay. Travis Unruh of Green Lizard Landscape. Thank you, Jonah, for inviting me here. Thank you all for doing me the favor of listening to me this evening. Xeriscaping is the landscape technique that uses regionally appropriate, high-interest, low-maintenance plant material. Trees, shrubs, and perennials are available in our region that work for most site conditions, bloom times, and other traits that Carson City residents might find appealing. Lawns are a waste of time and resources. The only time you walk on your lawn is to mow it. You don't need it. For a comparison of water consumption, let's look at 1 yard two different ways. A professionally installed lawn measuring 15 feet by 15 feet square using an automatic irrigation timer will consume 220 gallons of water per week, 880 gallons of water per month, 7,040 gallons of water per year. Carson City has about 20,000 houses. Oops, excuse me, let me back up. The consumption rate is based on precipitation rate of about 1.5 inches of water per week. In cooler months, it will be less. In warmer months, it will be more, but on average, about 1.5 inches. So Carson City's 20,000 houses, if every house has lawn, some will have much more, some will have none, but let's use 225 square feet for an average. This means that Carson City uses 140,800,000 gallons of water per year. If we replace that water-consuming lawn with more appropriate regionally plant material, the consumption rates are quite different. If each house replaced the turf with one tree, seven shrubs, and 12 perennials, and irrigated twice a month using drip irrigation, each house would use 110 gallons of water per week, 440 gallons of water per month, and 3,510 gallons of water per year. If each house replaced just 225 square feet, the city would save 70,400,000 gallons of water. So what's the one thing the city can do right now to help conserve millions of gallons of water? I think encouraging residents to replace their water-consuming lawns with more regionally appropriate plant material is it. Thank you, and have a good evening.
Thank you, Travis. I spoke with Travis, and thank you for coming to come down. And
I have a question. What is the annual consumption of lawns on water?
Of a 15-by-15 lawn for 1 year would be 7,540 gallons.
7,540. And you also had a number for the total consumption in the city based on 20,000 residences.
140,800,000 gallons.
140 million. And you say with this alternative planting, about half of that can
about
be
half
saved. Okay.
Based on irrigated two times per week using drip irrigation.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yep.
I know the city's concerned right now about drought and water shortage. So thank you, Travis, for being here.
We'll move on to our
next agenda. For possible action on approval of minutes. Anyone?
Jenna?
Mm-hmm.
There is one correction to be made.
Okay.
Let's see, on page 3, down at the bottom, the trees up on Baker Street, those were not overgrown. Those were dead trees.
Okay.
And I reported them as dead trees and...
and big difference.
And vectors, possible vectors for disease and beetles. And those trees are still standing there dead. Mm. Nobody's cutting them down.
Mm.
And they are both evergreens, and they are probably both riddled with beetles and things by now. So that's all I had.
Okay, thank you, Tara. Anyone else? Otherwise, looking for a motion?
I'll move that we approve the minutes as amended.
Second.
I second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Next item, modification to the agenda. Any There was no.
I thought I heard a nay.
I called for nay, then moved right on. Any modifications to the agenda? Seeing none. Moving on to item 3, meeting items for possible action regarding absence of any council member not at this meeting, and that was expected. We recently lost a member, Kyle Horvath, and so all current members are here. Moving on, public comments on that. Item B for possible action, the council selects a chair and vice chair during the first meeting of the calendar year, which is what we are on tonight. Looking for discussion and possible action for the council.
I move to elect member Shirk as chair. And
Gary.
And Gary as vice chair. I never memorized your last name, so don't be mad at me for that.
No. Looking for a second?
I will second that.
It's recommended that there be one at a time, so the chair first and then vice chair.
Okay, thank you. Second on that first motion.
Second on the first motion for chair.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Jens?
I move to elect member Gary as vice chair for the Shade Tree Council.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
You just vote for yourself.
Oh.
It's good. All opposed? Motion carries. Any public comment on agenda item B? Gary, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Glad to be vice chair.
Yep. All right, moving on. Thanks, everyone.
Okay, item C. Moving on to some guts of the meeting. I passed out, this is for possible action. The council needs to discuss and take action regarding the 2015 Arbor Day ceremony. We're going to work out some logistics of the ceremony. I passed out some supporting material to everyone. Roger, we can just click it open. It says Arbor Day, right? Thanks. So at the council's pleasure, what I've proposed for Arbor Day is something similar to what we did last year. Was a 5K? 5K run.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the Shade Tree Council's primary focuses throughout the year. We do an Arbor Day celebration along with a Fall Tree Care Seminar and one or two other events. But the Arbor Day tree planting, proclamation, and event ceremony has been going on now for 21 years. So this is our 20 years. So this is our 21st annual celebration. And what we did last year with great success is we moved it from a Friday to a Saturday to involve the community in a community event. We did a fun run walk. So this year, I spent some time and I have some pass outs specifically laying out some ideas that I would like to propose. The location for a Saturday, April 25th, this time a two-mile Arbor Day fun run walk at Long Ranch Park. It's a dog-friendly area, so hey, guess what? Dogs are free. In talking with the Park and Recs Department and just kicking around some ideas from last year and some ideas we put together, we'd like to dramatically reduce the price, really involve the community, and make it something spectacular. $5 for adults, $2 for kids. If you're under five, you're free. If you're a dog, you're free. We'll do the tree planting and the George Washington Ferris Award, which we'll talk about in a minute, and our proclamation, usually by the mayor or one of our elected officials, starting at 9 with the run walk starting at 9:30 a.m. So as you can see from the map, if you're familiar with the Long Ranch Park, if you go up Kings Canyon and you make a right on Longview, you'll find a beautiful grassy area where it's circled there. Is the pavilion. There's a covered picnic bench, a kids' playground, trash can, etc. It's a great start and end point for a simple two-mile fun run walk. And I highlighted the paths in pink up there where we could walk about. There's a big X mark where the where you're not allowed. The can't think of the word. The residential area there is blocked off for residents only. But you can sit, there is beautiful trails. If anyone's ever been there, you'll know it's beautiful grounds. It's well paved, very safe, and we can easily mark off a simple 2 mile event. So that's the location. in looking around and reading the minutes from the last meeting and some of the suggestions from the council members, you know, we're staying off the streets. There's one or two places where we'll cross a street, but it's really not very busy at all. I think it allows a great start and stop point where I'll talk more about community participation. So let me just move through the notes here, and then you can ask questions. I tried to break it down on some donations we'll need. We need a tree. We need waters to hydrate our participants, and we just need some flyers. I put in some pretty tree clip art to make it more applicable. So some supplies we'll need. I talked to Park and Recs Department. It would be great to have a porta potty. I think it's a requirement that we should have. Of course, we'll have the microphone system, our Arbor Day flag, some shade up, some pop-up structures, and obviously some cash to have paying fee entry. So you can see I'm all over the board. I'm from like porta potties to change for the registration. So just kind of laying out what we'll need for the whole event. As a council, I think we need to get our invites out as far as the event goes, coordination, registration, proclamation, and just getting the word out and just being there. And I'll get to some of the staff and volunteers. Most of them are, or some of them are sitting in the audience right now. I can see you, five of you right now. again, the location offers a pavilion with some tables, benches, shade, kids' playground area, ideal walking conditions, et cetera, as I already mentioned. Here's a list, I'm not gonna read it, of who we should invite. It's in the record, I passed it. It's everyone from the mayor and board of supervisors to your hairdresser and your neighbor and anyone I didn't mention. It's a long list, and you all can read through that. So my goal here is to invite the entire community, not only to spread the message of what the Carson City Shade Tree Council does, but it's a fantastic event. In fact, ArborDay.org used to do a poster contest. And if any of the original members here remember, this is from 2007, it was a nationwide poster contest. And they canceled that as of 2013, I believe, when I called. They don't even do it nationwide anymore. So that brought in children in the school systems, their teachers, their parents to get involved in, you know, what a tree means to me. So getting that message out, I think, is really important. I'm going to just skip down. You guys can read everyone I listed in there. And in case I forgot everyone, the last word says, and the rest of the city and anyone not listed here. So in case I missed anyone.
Gianna, I have a quick question. Sure. What was the price last year?
Do you remember if it was 10? It was like 10 and then 5 for all school members. Employees were free and kids or something like that. Right? Something like that.
I think it was 10 for adults, 5 for children, and school district employees were free.
Yeah, and, you know, when you think about, if you just want to talk about price real quick, if you're family, mother, father, two kids, 10 and 10 and 5, you know, it just adds up real quick. I wanted it to be something you could do affordably as a whole family, kind of make it, get more people and lower the price than that. Yeah. Okay. Moving on, sponsors, activities, demonstrations. So what I want to do is get some sponsorships of people, businesses, anybody who wants to come down on that day, bring a table, pop up a shade structure, have some displays, pass out your swag. I had to look it up on the internet how to spell that. I put it in quotes so that you know it's some sort of slang. But, you know, I think on the flyer we should encourage our participants to bring a bag of sorts to, you know, pack in, pack out their trash, carry their water, take stuff home, et cetera. The sponsorships I'm looking for, and I've left a message for a couple, would be our own fire department, our armed forces, the Navy, Army, Marine, Air Force, National Guard, et cetera, NDF, any tree info companies, landscape companies. You know, if you're a masseuse, you want to give a runners a back rub afterwards, or if you, whatever you might be, come be a part of our event. I know we had tree donations from our very own Board of Supervisors, Jim Shirk, who's here tonight. We had water donations from local prime lending. We had, who are our other sponsors? Forgive me if I forget you, but Healthy Trees. Thank you, Tom. Greenhouse Garden Center. So encouraging the participation of the whole community, not just our tree world, but looking for sponsors. If our armed forces and our fire department, our police could bring their cars with the lights and demonstrations, or tree pruning companies, bring your cars and your flyers and, you know, be part of the event. I did knock it down from a, what we had last year, 3K, 5K?
5K.
Three and a half miles. That's far too much running. 2 mile, and I just like the catchiness of the two, you know. You can walk to trees, you can...
And is it, it's still going to be a run, walk, jog? So
run, I mean, fun run, walk, dog friendly, walk, jog, run. It's not a race. So let me just move through this. It covers a little bit of, I kind of mentioned this in the beginning, why we do this. Just says what I mentioned earlier. And then I just laid out a general events of the day, if everyone agrees. I kind of didn't, you know, want to start too early. I talked with the Park and Recs Department about doing the dedication first. Mm-hmm. So if you were there last year, you kind of remember how it went. And based on that is how I got this time frame. So if at 9 o'clock the council, the sponsors, and everyone could come and set up, I'd like more volunteers at the registration table, expecting more participants, you know, two or three people to register. I'm hoping 100 people is just not enough to keep it moving. I'd like a table of armed forces and fire department. Just tell me who you are, pay your fee, and you know, move on. It's really simple. We don't have an event list or name tags or anything. So we'll register from 9:30 to 10. If the dignitaries who are going to be there, if you're going to be part of a speech or giving an award, if you could be there about 9:45 so we could start right at 10. We'll do our proclamation, give an award, mention the council, some speeches. We'll plant the tree with our golden shovels.
Do we have a site?
Maybe. Yeah, I think we'll work on the site, the tree, and the awards next. And then at 10:30, if we begin the fun run walk, and then when everyone's done, they can just go home. There's nothing for them to stick around for. And it's kind of a good time. The families and the community at that time when you're done can go to lunch, kind of thing. That's all I have on the Arbor Day. I'd kind of like just to move quickly through this to move through the logistics of everything, take some questions, and go.
Roger, I have a quick question. Do we have to notify anybody if we're going to put it, the tree by this pavilion or any adjacent green belt nearby? Do we have to register with anybody, or do we have to send out an email to the city parks and rec about where we're going to put this? And is there any... is there any follow-up that we have to do to make it so we're not catching any other city department off guard?
You'll need to notify me. And traditionally, not to be glib, but traditionally what we do is the Shade Tree Council selects a site, you know, normally a park or a grounds around a building or open space site, and then they give us direction, us being the Park and Recreation Department, where you'd like to have the ceremony. Yeah, we can. And we will then, we'll pick out the exact site to where the tree will be planted to make sure it's, you know, not in the way of anything else in the park. But we'll work with you. I think John has got a pretty good plan lined out here, and the picnic pavilion area is a good place to have that central location for the start and the ending of the race. Also a good location to hold the ceremony, and we would have the tree planting right in that same vicinity close by.
One other thing is, I didn't know if the last year if we had had the soil prepped or anything like that before we put it in, you know, tilled up, nutrients put into the ground, that kind of thing, and somebody's lined up. For that.
Yeah, we'll actually, the Park and Recreation Department, the park maintenance personnel will dig the hole. They'll prepare the planting site. They'll plant the tree about 75% of the way in, and we have some, you know, dirt out there, so you have a ceremonial shoveling of dirt into the tree.
And then do we always find a place that, that has, like, a drip irrigation? So I know, like, when a tree's starting out, that, you know, if it's not going to be hit by sprinklers or that kind of thing, that there is some type of drip irrigation. That's all that's all thought out and all that.
Yep, that's one of the, you know, one of the considerations of the site where we place a tree also includes the ability to irrigate it, too.
I'm a little uncomfortable with encouraging having dogs there, and maybe that can be cleared up. What is our responsibility in the event of dogs not getting along and problems arising out of there? What is our responsibility in case of dogs messing up along the road and the neighborhood is coming after us?
Let me get real quick. Last year it was a dog-friendly event as well. So it's a dog-friendly community. You can't stop them from bringing their dogs. And I think I mentioned on there that if they do bring the dogs, which is fine, they need to be leashed. So there's not much else we can do about the rest. Roger?
Well, those are actually good concerns that you have. Long Ranch Park is a dog-friendly park. We have different gradations of dog-friendly. You know, as you know, down at Fuji Park, we have a fenced-in dog park. Yeah. And on some of our trails in our open space, within the park, our park system, they're dog-friendly with dogs off-leash, but Long Ranch Park is a dog-friendly on-leash. Now, we have one park, Mills Park, comes to mind, that doesn't allow dogs at all, but, you know, really, there's not a liability concern, if that's kind of what your concern is about dogs.
Well, what I'm concerned is the dogs go through. This is also a residential neighborhood. And, I mean, I think we can all relate to people getting upset when there's an event, and after that they got all kinds of dog feces all over the place, and they will get upset about that. So what can we do about this? How are we protected from this?
We have dog cleanup stations in that park and in that area. Again, I think it's a good concern you're bringing up. You know, I think maybe what we could do is be a little proactive and hand every participant that has a dog one or two dog bags so they can clean up after their dog if an event, as you call it, would happen, you know, during, you know, the course of the round. So
I think we should mention that on the flyer that if you bring a dog, please be sensitive to the neighborhood.
And, you know, I think it would be a good faith effort maybe at the end of the at the end of the event that the volunteers take a walk through the area and clean up after the people that don't. Unfortunately, some people don't do that.
Very good. Any other questions by the council? We need some discussion here on the event's location. Donations. I think, you know, after this meeting, if the council approves these general details, there's still some work to be done. Obviously reaching out to the community once we finalize, you know, time, date, location, et cetera, you know, just moving forward with the details. Gary?
I'll go ahead and bring the waters. I'll sign up for bringing the waters. I'll donate that. And dog cleanup bags.
The city has them.
We have the bags.
You got them?
Yep.
They're all over.
Okay. I'll bring the water.
Terry?
Well, lunch. Once you get the flyers and things together, I can do what I did last year and take them around to the schools and several businesses as, you know, I took them to a lot of businesses and all the schools I could find last year. So I could do that again.
Can we get a volunteer to make the flyer?
I think we're over the apple.
All right. Thank you, Jens. If we can get that flyer, do you want to
be careful with the word volunteer in this context.
Can you give us a date that you could get it done by?
As long as you can give me a date when I will have all the information.
Okay. Well, I'll give you all the information I put together here. That might be most of it.
I'll be out of town this weekend, but if you can get it to me by the next weekend, I would do before the next weekend, which is March 8th, around there.
Okay.
Then I will try to do it over that weekend. I will also try to get advertisement in Nevada Appeal again like I did last year. But I cannot promise, of course, because the decision is not mine. I can only ask for it.
A press release would be huge.
I'm talking about actual advertising printed like we had last year.
Okay. Can you just make our appeal to the Nevada Appeal right now? Please? I think one thing we want to consider is who we invite and how we invite it. So, you know, once we get a flyer, let's get it in the public hands. But I'd like to compile, and I'll mention this again with the Fall Tree Care Seminar, getting an email blast. For instance, Travis is here from Green Lizard Landscape, and he's not been on any of our email blasts for any of the Shade Tree Council events. So I think getting dialed in with digital connections to our events, to our members of our community, especially our tree community, would be important in getting the word out. So with that, we need to talk about the George Washington Ferris Award, and Roger sent me. So every year, the council gives the George Washington Ferris Award at our Arbor Day celebration. And I read the minutes of the last meeting. I'm looking for some emails that I asked for from Roger about some nominations for the George Washington Ferris Award. Does the council have any discussion on that? And then I just want to mention what the George Washington Ferris Award is about. Jens, go ahead.
Well, at the last meeting, I already mentioned that I would like to see this time a private homeowner to be awarded, and my suggestion would be, I don't know this name, but it's the location on Ormsby Boulevard. Everybody knows that house has huge, I think they're cottonwood trees. One has a very prominent tree house inside, and I think this is a great example of a private property working in our spirit, bringing up the trees. So this would be my suggestion as an award for the Washington Ferris Award for this year.
Thank you,
Jens. So then Roger will have to find out who that is.
I think the George Washington Ferris Award, for those that don't know, I'll just read this excerpt that I got from you, Roger. So George Washington Ferris is being the father. But George Washington Ferris planted many of the original trees on the state capitol grounds here in Carson City. Many of the trees have survived to present day, and in fact, the large spruce tree that Ferris planted is used today as the state's official Christmas tree. Many of you know that tree. Our council honors Ferris every year by presenting the George Washington Ferris Award during our annual Arbor Day celebration to an individual, organization, or business that demonstrates exemplary support of trees and landscaping in Carson City. With that, any other nominations that were discussed or discussion among the council? Yeah.
Well, it's still the same nomination. I just wanted to add that just like with the Arbor Day run, we want to open up more to the general public so they know who we are and what we're doing. So that's another reason why I would like to have a private property owner on this. And if I look at the map over there, that property is actually within a stone's throw of where we have our event. So that just goes together real nice.
I think we need to make an action on the recipient. We need to finalize that, I'm pretty sure. We need to know who it is. And
well, then I would move to ask Roger to find out who the property owner is, and would like to nominate that person in charge of that property, the owner.
I read in the minutes also there was a couple other nominations. Terry had a nomination, and Roger had a suggestion in the minutes.
I'm not on the council. Mine was only a suggestion. So if you're interested in that individual, somebody from the council would have to nominate him.
I'm looking up the minutes. Anyone have the minutes of the last meeting? You can hand me.
Let me see.
Healthy Trees was a nomination or consideration for the work they do in the city. Some of the fruit, some of the tree walks, the Fruit Barons work that Tom Henderson at Healthy Trees does, and there was some other.
I'm trying to find it here.
That's okay. Any other discussion amongst the council?
Are we set in our ways that we're going to do somebody? From a private residence is going to be nominated for the George Ferris Award, or local businesses who have done a very good job at.
Yes, Silver Oak Development, and I'm just trying to remember the one other one.
I think it was Tom Henderson with Healthy Trees. I think for this portion here, we're looking to nominate and move and award the award to somebody.
Too many
papers up here.
Maybe.
Don't have a second. I think, Roy, can you discuss this again about the resident? Because that you just mentioned. I'm sorry. And sorry. Yes. I'm looking at you. Sorry. Can you say again who you're nominating and why?
I don't know the name of the person. I could find it out, but I don't have it here right now. Okay. The person is the owner of a property on Ormsby Boulevard, near where Ormsby Boulevard turns into Ash Canyon.
The big white house?
It's a white house with a red door and has two huge cottonwood trees on it. One has a very prominently a tree house in it.
Oh.
So I would like to nominate that person for the George Washington Ferris Award, because it's a good example for private property owners how to have care for these huge old trees.
I second that motion to nominate the property owner off of Ormsby and that location that everyone knows what it is. They have done an exceptional job, and I second that motion to nominate them for the George Washington Ferris Award.
We can have discussion among the council, right? Here's two things I'm concerned about. The homeowner knowing about it, then participating in it. So usually we like to have the recipient receive the award at the ceremony. Mm-hmm. Do they even know we're doing it, that we're going to put their house on?
Well, they will know as soon as we notify them.
Right. I'm just a little concerned that it might look pretty, their tree that they done, the one with the tree house. I know what you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
Right? It's that white one. I just don't know that they're exemplary in the standards for the award, that they just keep a nice-looking yard. And what we need to do here is identify who they are. Will they be at our ceremony? Are they happy to receive the award? It's quite possible that they don't want the recognition, thank you, or they don't want the participation. So I'm a little worried we just haven't identified that, and then we're going to put together a flyer, and then our next meeting is pretty much there's no more discussion about changing that recipient. But I like the idea of a homeowner. I would just like to see in the future us identify the homeowner ahead of time and knock on their door and see some real progression on what they're doing to receive the award.
Is it common practice to ask somebody if the person would accept an award before deciding to award that person? I don't know.
Terry?
Quite a few years ago, we had an event called Tree Hero or something like that award for putting emphasis on an exceptional tree in Carson City, and a horse chestnut up on Baker Street was chosen. And we approached the owner beforehand and got permission to present the award to the man and woman there. They were pretty happy to receive that, and we went in their backyard, and it was even more spectacular than the tree out front. So once we contacted them, they were quite happy to do it. Of course, it's an individual basis. Some people might not want to, but the one we did have the event for was very happy to do it.
Jens?
We will have one more meeting before that event. Mm-hmm. Well, then can we fix these little problems, find out who the person is, find out if the person would be willing to accept the award, and then make a decision at the next meeting and be prepared for the next meeting to nominate somebody else in case this person does not want to be the recipient.
Any discussion? What do you think?
I second that motion.
We're looking for
Three seconds.
You have a motion and a second, so you probably need to act on that first motion or second. Now, Jens, you have the opportunity to withdraw your motion if you would like to do that, and then make another motion that you defer this to the next meeting in April to make a decision.
I withdraw the initial motion, and my new motion would be to ask the Parks and Recreation Department to find out who the owner of that property we were talking about is, get in touch with that person, and find out if the person would be willing to accept the award.
Second that.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, good. How'd we do on that? Okay. I do want to recognize the other possible nominees, which still are in, you know, the running. Healthy Trees and the subdivision of Silver Oak, which Terry mentioned at the last meeting. Okay, so moving through this agenda item, Arbor Day. We got flyers going to be made. We got a location, time, date, place, or we got the who, what, where, when, and why. Hope to see everybody there and look for more of that information on there. Anything else? Public comment on the Arbor Day celebration? Yes, Mr. Henderson. Thank you.
Last year we donated sapling trees from the Washoe Nursery.
Oh, that's right.
They cost $5 to $10 each. I'd be happy to do a limited number of those if you want to include that as part of the event. Probably, you know, have to cap it at 20 or 25.
Okay.
But if you want to do that, we can help with that.
Maybe we could put the first 20.
Thank you.
Participants. Tom, do you think your company could be available on a Saturday and your great staff to bring fine tree equipment and maybe participate in the events or have a...
Is there a tree large enough to set up climbing rigging out there?
Really not that site, but, you know, maybe if you had some information available, and I think we'd probably want to open that up to other tree care businesses, landscape businesses, you know, that give you an opportunity to meet with the public that's out there.
Bring your equipment and Travis as well, whoever else. Okay.
Should I mention to this council that you got a ride in our harness at the, farmer's market.
Yes.
Years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we had a tree big enough, we could set up something like that and demonstrate climbing.
But, true. Not at that location, though.
Yeah.
But maybe you could pay your employees a bonus to bring their families and their dogs on a leash to the event.
They'll be on overtime. It's Saturday.
Your staff is thanking me. You're welcome.
I'll see if we have any altruistic members of our staff.
Great.
Might be willing to volunteer that.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Any other public comment? You going to be there, Travis? Mr. Shirk, are you donating a tree this year? Is that why you're here? I'm sorry. Oh, you are? Okay. All right, moving on. Thank you, everyone. Agenda item D, possible action. All right. Council needs to begin planning for our annual fall tree care seminar workshop. Okay, I have another slide on that, and I passed out some supporting material. And if it would please the council, I'll run through some items real quick. So, again, this is our 21st annual Shade Tree Council Fall Tree Care Seminar. It's a lot of acronyms. Since I'm in the Navy, I like acronyms, so I made it real simple. I was doing some discussion not only with members in the community, but the Park and Recs Department, and I think this year, I don't think we need a theme. I think the fact that it's a 21st annual is theme enough, and just in discussing with possible speakers, if one speaker has a good topic and the other speaker has a good topic and they don't have the same theme, let's just get them in. So here was some of the things based on the last meeting. The council approved a Thursday, November 12th Shade Tree Care Seminar. I suggested after last year that we change it up a little bit, and after a lot of work and hours of preparation on this, I'm happy to leave it on a Thursday. I did talk about moving it to a Saturday, but I made some phone calls specifically to some of the people in the audience here today, especially some of our certified arborists in the area, getting their staff, getting them certified, and providing the credits that our seminar allows to offer the International Society of Arborists certification. So keeping it on a Thursday, yes, it's a work day for some, but hopefully you can, with enough planning, you can move your clients to the afternoon, because I propose moving it to a five-hour class, so going from 8 to 2:30 and not providing lunch. We'll dismiss for lunch, but we won't provide a meal. It was a huge expense for the council, and it'll reduce the cost in order to bring people in, and you can just run across the street and get a meal on your own and come back. So the suggestions I'm proposing are listed here. If you scroll down there, reducing the amount of, I have it right now, and with the council's discussion and just trying to figure out how many speakers we can get, you know, having an introduction and some greetings will provide coffee, and I put donuts in quotes because maybe we have some sort of alternatives, but you know what I mean. A first topic and speaker leading us right into Terry, I thought we'd pass out the crossword puzzle, let them go to lunch, have a Q&A, and then when they come back from lunch, you can collect it, correct it during the first and second speaker. In the last half hour, you know, have some discussion and feedback and Q&A and awards and things like that, and people out at 2:30. It's more of a half day, and that's all I have. Terry.
I was planning on doing a different challenge this year. Yeah. I've already done crossword puzzle, so I thought of another, like, 20 questions.
Oh, good. Something like a quiz.
Vary it a little bit.
For those that don't know, and then Jens, you're next, we do a little crossword puzzle or a Q&A, and then Terry puts it together, and then at the end, whoever gets the most right gives a gift certificate to Greenhouse Garden Center, and they donate, what, a 20, a 50, a 20, and a...
10.
Tom, you won a couple. So it's just a fun game participation. Jens, you're up.
My question about the tree care seminar is, how tied are we to this room here? Do we have the option to look for other venues? The one that I have in mind particularly would be the Ormsby room at the new sheriff station, which has the advantage it can be configured in a classroom way, where people are actually sitting on tables. They will be able to have reading materials, take notes, whatever you want to do in the classroom. So if that's an option, I mean, this is a city-owned building. I'm sure the Sheriff's Department would be more than happy to offer it. It offers this room for practically anybody who wants it. So I think it would be a better solution than this room here, which is also a schedule problem. I don't think we will have that schedule problem. We will be more free to pick a day that we really like instead of having to wait for or look at what is scheduled here already and then squeeze in wherever there's room on the schedule. So I think we should consider that. If Roger could look into that.
Let me address a couple of things on that. The date is already set. You guys made that the last meeting. And so the schedule is not a problem. It's always on a Thursday in November. And I can tell you this, Jens, the reason why we have it here is back in the day, which some of you might know, we used to have 70 or 80 people. Mm-hmm. And it was a very, casual atmosphere, and they had tree shrub samples lined out, and we have the projector, and we have the ease of the facility where it's always been. So I don't think it's a problem being here. I think, just to answer, address the question a little more, by cutting it down this much, obviously we're not doing a big tree pruning seminar out in the middle of the park. We're not going on field trips. We're going to try and get some good topics pertaining to Carson City, maybe one on our tree inventory, and things like that. So that eliminates any field trips, too. So I don't think there's a problem with this location. I think it's quite ideal. And if we get the attendance that we used to have, which is what I'm hoping we get, and we can still offer the credits. I did some research on their website. We can still offer the credits even by knocking down the number of hours. I hope to have great success. So with that, I think, Roger, thank you for bringing our Fall Tree Care Seminar from last year. So this makes this year our 24th. Okay. So this...
I will try to define more or come up with a more definitive answer on how many of these we've had.
Okay. So if you... we have our expense report from last year. Fall Tree Care Seminar. A big chunk of it obviously goes to the catering, speaker, and things like that. So at the council's review of our budget, one major factor of this seminar, it's one of our only fundraisers. The Arbor Day Fun Run, we just started that. That's not really... Well, it's now a fundraiser, but very small. But this seminar was our original fundraiser. We used to charge, for those that were here, if anybody remembers, what, $70, $85 for 8 hours, and it included lunch, $75. Last year we tried $55. Attendance was really down. And I made some calls not only to Tom Henderson and Dave Hallett and Travis Unruh, who are our certified arborist, listed on the ISU website, trying to encourage. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 certified arborists listed on the International Society of Arboriculture's website in Carson City. There's much more if you broaden it down, but you guys are actually listed in Carson City. And all of them should bring their staff, and they need credits, and there's a whole list of arborists in Tahoe City and Reno and Washoe Valley that can attend this seminar to get the credits and get the education, in addition to the tons of retirees and city officials who can make it to the seminar. So the other thing I want to discuss at the council's pleasure is the registration fee. We're not going to provide lunch. It's not going to be as long. I'm hoping to bring in some speakers from the community. I'd like to see one of our planners, city planners, speak. There's a lot of activity going on in Carson City, a lot of development and revitalization. So I was thinking, I'll just put this out there for the council and we can discuss it. So if you register before November 1st, it could be $45. If you register at the door or after that, it's $55. We're going to provide coffee and breakfast snacks, and that's it. So I really want to get the attendance up. I'm not trying to shortchange the council, but I spoke with a lot of professionals in our town that if they're paying their employees their registration fee plus their you know, taking the time off work to come here and city staff and things like that, we need to consider that cost and really boost the professional attendance of our tree community. And there's a whole list of them, which again is where I think we need to get our guest list with the Park and Recs Department on email for every certified arborist on their website and everyone from Sparks to wherever, Tahoe City. I mean, there's such a broad base of tree care professionals that can attend this seminar. And that's after 23 and 24 years, I think we need to get back to that, a real educational, local community tree-based seminar program. And I think if we work on this, we got the Arbor Day, we have a lot to do. We don't have meetings every month. And so in order to facilitate all the logistics on this at the council's pleasure, I'd like to see this move forward, work on some speakers. I'd like to see every council member get a speaker, whatever their topic might be, and make it really interesting to draw in our community. I don't know what else I had on that. Any discussion amongst the council? Go ahead, Gary.
I was just going to mention that I really liked the speaker from Desert Research Institute.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, he knew what he was talking about, and I thought it was on point for the
biochar,
and it just kind of was on topic for the drought, and that was kind of the theme of it. So I thought maybe we could continue getting somebody from the Desert Research Institute, and I thought they were a great speaker. Who else did we have? But the biochar, I see that coming as they're talking about even the commercialization of it, and I think it's coming this way. So I like that. Maybe there's, if anybody else has any suggestions on former speakers, but I thought the speakers were they're on task and on topic.
I think I agree with you too, Gary. I think one thing I don't want to do is bring back anybody from last year. I mean, I know they were good, but the very next year we got to have all new speakers. Yeah, I think we could bring back that information and keep publicizing it.
But somebody from the, it could be a different talk.
Gotcha.
Somebody from the DRI, I thought was.
And you may want to consider not unilaterally saying that you're not going to bring back a speaker from the previous year. You may bring, if you have a really good speaker who can speak on another topic.
Right.
You may not want to cover the same topic, but same speaker covering a different topic.
Well, since the attendance last year was so low anyway, only very few people will notice.
Thanks, Jens. Well, I had a couple, and I think I'd like to look to the council to work on finding a speaker. We need to find the speakers ahead of time so that they can clear their schedules. And if one's interested in the morning, the other's interested in the night, I can book that one and fill the slots as needed. A couple topics I was just thinking about would be, one of our city planners, a zero-scape topic. People from the Department of Agriculture and Cooperative Extension, and really specific, maybe our tree inventory. At that time, we should have some progression on that, and that should draw a lot of interest to everybody. So with that, any further discussion? Vance?
The subject, we've done it before, but the big theme is still and will continue to be for a while the drought. Mm-hmm. And probably we don't want to do the same thing over and over again. On the other hand, the drought doesn't go away, and it would be almost irresponsible to ignore that in favor of some other topic. How serious it is, anybody who drove through the Sierra recently mm-hmm. can tell you that there's no snow. The snow cover is 12% of normal. This is the fourth dry winter in a row. California itself is now in the 15th year of the drought. And a couple of weeks ago, NASA released a report suggesting that this is probably the beginning of a 30-year drought. So, I can't think of another theme to talk about. Travis, what you brought up is very important. In Southern California, there was encouraged for the last 10 years or so to do dry planting, plants that are drought-resistant, plants that survive without water for certain, for residential planting, replacing lawns, et cetera. They have courses down there. I'm sure we can get some good and experienced speakers from that area if we reach out and trying to make those contacts. So this should be the top priority on our agenda. That's all I can say for now.
Thanks, Dan. What I think we're going to look for now is a motion so we can and then look for some public comment on the Fall Tree Care Seminar, and I hope there is some. So with that, anything else? Make a motion.
Need a motion on specifically.
Well,
I think it's our. I think it's was discussion only
for possible action.
If you're looking for a motion, you may want
format.
To have a motion, you know, based on the format that you've presented. You know.
That's all we're looking for.
Okay. I would like to make a motion that we follow the basic format presented to us at this meeting for our Thursday, November 12th, Shade Tree Care Seminar.
Second, anyone?
I second that motion.
All those, any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Public comment on our amazing Carson City Shade Tree Council Fall Tree Care Seminar. First up? All right.
Missed the seminar this year for the first time in a long time.
That's why nobody came.
Thanks, Tom.
For practicing arborists, the skills workshops are the most valuable. For our crew, for example, would be aerial rescue and climbing skills with the most advanced climbers in the West. Hmm. We attended such a workshop at the Nevada Landscaping Association this month. They had a demonstration in the convention center with climbing techniques and safety. We spent the day doing that. So we have a limited number of days that we could take off from work to release the crew. The most on-point skills training for arborists that actually climb trees would be aerial rescue and climbing techniques, especially single rope technique. There are competent speakers in this room who have presented before at the Falls Tree Care Seminar. Division of Forestry has several. The Cooperative Extension has several that would be competent speakers and I think would draw people to come. I hope the other folks in the room have suggestions as well. I've recommended Dr. Linda Chalker Scott before from Washington State University to speak on mulch. She's written several articles on that, and she appeared in Rancho. I was at the ASCA, the Consulting Arborist Conference in Rancho Mirage in December, and she presented there. She's a very competent, capable practitioner and PhD, but she has a sense for the practical side as well. I'm sure you can put together an excellent program, and I hope the others will make their input. Rod has given a fascinating presentation at the Nevada Landscape Association several years ago on my favorite 20 trees. That was great. He could do that, something like it.
That would be especially pertinent now that we have such a persistent drought. We need to emphasize the trees that are most likely to survive the remainder of this really deep drought we're in.
My response is there are some trees that are reputed to be drought tolerant, but all of the trees that we grow in our landscapes are imported and non-native. There's a few really tough trees, and some of them are invasive that don't need water. But that, yeah, that should be part of the theme. And these lists of drought tolerant trees are not necessarily scientific lists. I'll put it that way.
Tom, it's funny you should mention that. I have a list right here that the council put together. I'm going to pass this out at reports. We have a high, medium, and low drought tolerant trees list that the council put out in August. So
I just thought it would be good to have a speaker expand a bit about some of those trees.
Jens, you have anything for?
Yes. We can look at lists of drought-tolerant trees as much as we want, but what we have to deal with are the trees that are out there right now, and we know more about what we have after the inventory is done, mm-hmm. which should be pretty soon, right?
I think we got to address.
So what we need to focus on is not the wish list of drought-tolerant trees, but the trees that are actually there, and we need to find out how to deal with them.
Any other public comment? Come on, Rod.
I'm going to stay asleep during the whole meeting.
Oh, God.
Rod Hollenbeek, innocent bystander. Okay, for Jens, I mean, okay, everybody's concerned about drought, but if you don't water plants in this area, you're going to end up with bitterbrush, rabbit brush, and
what was the other one?
Sagebrush. Okay, and a little bit of, desert peach. Okay. And, okay, so I'm not a Nevada native, so I don't think that they're very pretty. And I think a lot of the people who are here are not Nevada natives, and they want something that doesn't look like you could go 5 miles out of town. So anyway, so there has to be there are trade-offs that have to be made. Okay, trees like cottonwoods and elms just suck up the water. Okay, so maybe that's a bad tree. But, I mean, there has to be a balance point between – and bear in mind that I am prejudiced. Okay, I like pretty trees. Okay, and there are some that use a little bit less water. And, you know, the Truckee Meadows Water Authority has a list of, like, you know – and everybody's got a list. I could probably give you a list. But I just wanted to say that there has to be some sort of trade-off between aesthetic values and drought tolerance. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where that point is. I mean, it might be different for everybody. Anyway, thank you.
Oh, Brian, are you around on what are you doing Thursday, November 12th?
Yes, I can show up over here.
How's your morning look, afternoon? What's your day like that day?
I'd have to come up with a topic, but I haven't had that much trouble.
Okay. All right. I'll give you a call.
I would be available, but let's talk. Okay. I had another idea, but I'm not going to say it yet.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I know. Okay. Yeah. So... I'm a member of an analogous board or a sister board, the Renewable Forestry Commission. And we are at our next meeting, we're going to have a thing about, it's supposed to be about permaculture. Somebody's going to come in and give us a talk about permaculture. And this kind of like, Jens, this kind of like leads into what you're saying. Permaculture is to use plants that are, you know, that may be drought tolerant things, but it's a larger subject. And I haven't heard the talk, so I don't know what it, you know, that might be a possible way to go, but that's why I'm reluctant to say anything about it. I don't know what it's going to sound like. And there are people, at least up in Reno, there's a lady that's a member of our commission, the from the Desert Research Institute, and she gives out, you know, she does education. I don't know anything about what she knows or whether we would like what she hears, you know, to hear what she says. So, but anyway, that's why I was going to let that little, I was going to cook. Permaculture. And and I don't know exactly what it is, but it sounds like it's something like, what would you call that? Yeah, sustainable, but it's like a biosystem. Yeah. It's not just a tree, but maybe it's things that insects like, you know, pollinators like, and then things that will go well or not. I don't know anything more than that about it. And
I think that's what they call it, dry landscaping.
Well, I mean, it's sort of a sustainable thing where they're trying to cut down on maintenance. Maintenance is important for everybody. I don't know about your yard. Maintenance is important.
It's important
there too. Huh?
It's important there too.
But so it has a number of things, and maybe David knows a little bit more about this than I do, but I'm in the dark. I'm waiting to find out. So.
Thanks, Rod. Thank you. More public comment.
Time?
Yes, perfect.
Hey, how's it going? David Hallett, Nevada Division of Forestry. I'm the Urban and Community Forestry Program Coordinator. I would encourage you guys to have a theme. That's kind of the hook for, you know, an event is, you know, I think a lot of themes have been thrown out. You know, it's practical skills, which are really important. You know, climate change, maybe water, drought. Obviously, you know, some very important topics, and that kind of, that's what brings people in. And then once maybe you get a theme, I could really, you know, start to help you look for some speakers to address that. I, you know, I get around the state, I kind of know who's doing what, and I can maybe help you identify some of those speakers. Another thing is that we've talked about a little bit is the inventory. And the inventories all over the state are driving the educational programs. In Clark County, we've done that, we finished the inventory in 2012. And we've had, you know, large speaker events where we've, you know, had ISA credits. We've brought in Ed Gilman, the guy who literally wrote the book on tree pruning, come down to Las Vegas last year because the inventories identified that the city had a lot of young trees and that to become big trees, there has to be a structural pruning program implemented to get those trees to those higher, larger size classes. So the inventory specifically is driving the educational program. So I think you have the answer to what you want to talk about, but it's just this information that has not been collected. I'm not sure how the city's progressing on getting that RFP out and having that inventory done, but it's probably something I think can be done. Yeah, it's something that could be done this summer, and that information could specifically drive the topic. And I know you guys have to organize this way ahead of time, so maybe next year, but you know, just the point is the inventory should drive the educational program. You know, doing drought-tolerant trees, permaculture, that's actually what I studied as for my master's and PhD was agroforestry, which is a version of permaculture whereby you try to replicate a natural system in an agricultural system. I studied a system in Spain where they have dispersed trees that they harvest cork from, acorns fall, the pigs go out and eat them. You know, it's a multi-strata system where you have shrubs, grass, trees all working together. There's minimal inputs and high productivity. That's kind of what we'd like to see as opposed to just the grass. And, you know, the conversation that was had that started out the meeting was great. You know, that's the kind of information we should talk about. We should talk about water. That's why the Nevada Landscape Association exists. They get money from the Water Authority to help people repair valve boxes. I personally don't think you should become a certified arborist in this state unless you know how to repair and put out drip line and do that kind of thing because you just can't keep a tree alive without significant irrigation system. That's my soapbox there, but water, drought, those are huge topics, and you know, I think we kind of repeat it every year. It's something it's very important, but you know, I'd hope that it doesn't look like it's going to end. So this is something we do need to prepare ourselves for, and maybe you know, switching some of that turf to a more sustainable system of shrubs and like exactly what was described before. That's you know a very responsible thing to do. And private land, but also in you know in the municipal areas. And I know in Reno, they're discussing doing exactly that with some of their park space. Fruit trees, that's another thing we're working on. Not just going to throw it out. You know, food production, the Forest Service actually changed their rules last summer. They didn't allow people to plant fruit trees on public property, but now you can. They're getting more interested in food deserts and, you know, making sure that lower income communities have access to fresh fruit. And that's another thing that Reno's been working on. It's something maybe down the line to start thinking about. But, you know, for the Forest Service, they think it now it adds tree cover to the city. It's a good thing. It also has fruit. That's not the only thing, though. So people kind of, you know, think just about the fruit, but there's a lot of other benefits that come from fruit trees. Just throwing it out there for a possible theme maybe down the line. To think about, but you know, drought trees. That's you could do that every year. Probably just call it the, you know, trees and drought seminar every year until things change. But anyway, that's my two cents. Thanks.
Before you leave, are you busy Thursday, November 12th?
I don't know. I spoke last year, so I think I spoke twice last year, actually. So I don't know if people want to hear from me again.
Well, it just has to be a different topic. It just can't be the same.
You know, we're actually updating the Big Tree program, too. Okay. You know, I'm going to be preparing a talk on that. And there's kind of an educational component to that in terms of getting little trees to become big trees.
Okay.
Even though, you know, okay, it's not going to be a 500-year-old tree, a white pine tree up in the hills, but it's a good vehicle to discuss big trees and why they're important. They do provide a lot more benefits than smaller trees, and so, but that's a potential topic. But if you guys,
I'll give you a call.
Yeah, please do.
Thank you, Dave.
Can I ask a question of David while he's up there? First of all, I think your idea of maybe a discussion of the big trees in Nevada, I think it would be kind of an interesting topic for, you know, people to hear. But David, do you think there's any applicability, and would it be appropriate to contact the Southern Nevada Water Authority and maybe have them talk about some of the, because my impression is that they're ahead of us up north in some of their water saving, water conservation methods that they're pushing down in Clark County and down in Southern Nevada. And maybe we can learn a little bit from some of the techniques and some of the applications that they're currently involved
Absolutely.
In.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, it's just, you know, getting away from spray, going to drip, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'll bet there's some good speakers out there. I'm sure I could identify them.
Yeah, you know, and I'd be happy to look into that too. But,
okay.
You know, I know there's kind of this, sometimes we draw this imaginary border between northern Nevada and southern Nevada. But
Beatty.
Yeah. I think it's probably, I think it's somewhere around Goldfield.
Yeah, that's I'm not right. Sure. That's right.
But, you know, maybe there's some things that we can learn up north that they're doing down south that
we will be them, you know, not too distant future.
Yeah,
probably.
I mean, our Ponderosa and Jeffries could be turned into I can't remember the tree now. I was going to say Jehovah, but
Joshua
trees. Joshua trees, thank you. Yeah.
They grow just fine up here. They just get
out
competed by other things.
Yeah,
but there are several in Carson City.
Yeah, there are some nice ones.
Yeah.
I think along Ormsby Boulevard there are some. I don't think it's a Joshua tree, but it's a yucca plant.
Yeah.
Actually, the Joshua tree grows only in the Mojave Desert.
Oh, really? Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
No, but they've introduced them here.
Yes.
They're in yards in landscape.
I saw one off of Snyder. One off of Snyder, I believe.
Thanks, Dave.
Any questions?
Appreciate it. Any other public comment? Travis? You good? All right. Thank you, everyone, for your input. And, again, I'll probably reach out to make a lot of phone calls moving forward, looking towards our seminar topics and speakers. Okay, moving on. Agenda item E. So all this is discussion only regarding keeping track of the council member volunteer hours. So every year we have to turn in our hours at the end. Okay.
I have a question for the council. We had a motion, I think, to accept the format. Was there a second and a vote on that? The format for the Shade Tree Council?
Did we not?
There was a second, but we don't have a vote.
Oh, thank you. Glad you're here. So we have a second on the motion to follow the format we have laid out and incorporate all the items we have here. We have a second, right? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, moving on. Thank you. Okay, item E, again, keeping track of our volunteer hours. There is a log sheet that at the end of every year, every council member turns in their hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to remind the council, if you could keep track of your hours as we go or give them to me, every phone call you make, everything you do, it counts. It counts towards things like getting grants and our volunteer hours, and they match the number of hours with numbers of dollars. So keep that in mind. So at the end of the year, you're not just guessing and not missing any. You're really getting every hour that you put in. That's it. So just keep track of your hours.
Where do we have those sheets?
There are some log sheets, right, Roger? Could we not find them right now?
We can't find log sheets. If you just keep track of your hours, you know, in your own method, okay. That includes attending these
meetings
count, as well.
All the seminars and all the day. Okay. So that's all there. Public comment on our volunteer hours? Okay. It's important. Thank you, Dave. Item F, discussion only. Councilmember Pierman, you brought this up at the last meeting regarding a possible tree initiative project. And you're up.
Well, since it's discussion only, we've discussed it before.
Okay.
And I think we should get start getting some action. The idea is, as an additional incentive for homeowners, that we assist a little more in taking care of green waste.
Mm-hmm.
Then what we do right now it's pretty limited, particularly the limitations that waste management puts on tree limbs. I think now they have to be cut down to 3 feet. It used to be 4 feet before. And also the city picks up leaves in fall for, I think the period is 2 weeks, is that correct? And so we should that extend a little bit at least, also include a period in spring when there's a lot of pruning going on. All in all, to make it a little, to help the homeowners a little more, so they don't say, why should I do all this work, and then why should I have trees, and then I have the problem of getting rid of the green waste. Another aspect in here is also the safety, particularly on the west side, and that is a lot of people have fruit trees in their yards, particularly mm-hmm. apple trees, and these apple trees, they attract bears. Mm-hmm. In fall. I have the idea maybe we should organize something like, I would call it an Apple Express. It could be done by volunteers, it could be done by businesses who volunteer, that during the fall season when the ripe apples on the trees, all homeowners would have to do is bring them down from the tree, put them in bags, and put them on the street, and then on weekends the volunteers would come pick them up and bring them out somewhere up Ash Canyon or Kings Canyon and dispose them there for the bears, so the bears can have them right there instead of coming into the town. There may be problems with if it's legal to feed bears, but it may also be possible to get an exception for this, because the main idea is to keep the people and the bears separate. So that would be part of the tree care assistance that I have in mind.
Thanks, Jens. Gary?
I think it's a great idea, you know, to
thank you.
To do something like that. Especially if that is proven to drive them into the valley. Just getting with the the homeowner and getting them on board. How would you go about doing that? Would you go door to door, say, hey, I saw an apple tree in your front yard, and let's work something out? Is that kind of what you were thinking?
Well, this will be only part of it, but the getting the apples out to the bears instead of inviting the bears into the neighborhoods, like I said, we have to find out if it will be legal at all to do something like this, or if it is possible to get some laws changed to make it legal. So that would be something fundamental. Roger, you gave me a contact, but I think I'm pretty sure I still have it at home on my desk, but I don't have it on top of my head right now.
We have contacts with the Nevada Division of Wildlife.
In fact, we have had
a meeting here in the last couple of weeks with a group of individuals, Cooperative Extension, Nevada Division of Wildlife, our county sheriff's department, and our open space staff regarding the challenges we're having with deer in the community right now. And deer are also attracted to fruit trees and urban landscapes as well. We have a meeting coming up on that in a couple weeks, and I can certainly broach the subject with the NDAL folks about the legality of harvesting fruit and, you know, bringing it outside the city and leaving it, you know, for wildlife. I'm not sure if that constitutes feeding wildlife, and if that's, you know, usually feeding wildlife is illegal, but I'm not sure if that part of it would constitute that. I'll get that information.
Good. That would be great. So that would cover that part, and then do you think it would be possible to get some kind of a report or a statistic of exactly what we have right now on services regarding green waste removal? And then we can look into what exactly, what is lacking, where can we do more with the resources we have, maybe even with a volunteer program.
You know, I can get that information as far as the services that are provided. As you know, I think the city public works department sponsors a couple cleanup events, a spring yard cleanup event, where they'll offer free pickup of yard waste. And I don't know if they do one in the fall or not, but I can find out that information. I don't know if they have data on the amount they collect, you know, in terms of cubic yards or pounds or tons. But I can certainly check on that. And I can put together some information about services that they provide and see what we can find.
Can we have that for the next meeting?
We'll try to do that.
Thank you.
One thing I like everything that Jens is saying. I think there's a great opportunity here, and there's some people in the audience that do work on, you know, harvesting the fruit in the town and things like that. I think we want to make sure that the scope of what we're doing stays in line with the purpose of the council. I think it's great ideas. I've worked myself as a fruit baron, picking trees and donating it, and you know, mulching and all that is a great opportunity that the city provides. I just want to caution the council before we put something on the agenda that it stays within the scope of our purpose, and I think it's a great purpose. All the ideas. I just know that in reading the Shade Tree Council's what we're supposed to do. And I think those are great ideas. I just want to stay in the scope of what we're supposed to do, because there's so much going on in the city as far as redevelopment issues, new construction, and things where we need to be advising the Board of Supervisors on tree-related matters in our urban forest in our city and their maintenance. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where our focus is. And I was a little concerned on the confused on the topic tree initiative program, which sounds great. I didn't know what that meant. So
tree care assistance.
Okay, that's on the agenda. Yeah. It says tree initiative, so I didn't know what that meant. So I'm glad you explained it. I brought a lot of stuff on a tree assistance program that we used to do, the street tree program. But in listening to what you're talking about, is completely opposite. So I think we need to consider and maybe discussion before we agendize it amongst the council, if we're in the scope, if it's something we can do, and you know, what kind of participation we can get.
Well, we actually have talked about it before, and the basic idea is, like I said, to create another incentive for people to be tree owners, and by taking some of the burden off. The connection with the apples is apples come from trees. So if I have a problem with apples, I'm very unlikely to have apple trees. So we don't want people to cut off the apple trees. We want them to keep them. We just want to make sure that the fruit of these trees doesn't create a problem. So there's the connection.
Roger, are we within scope?
Yeah, I think you're discussing. This is a discussion only item, so you're fine. I mean, you know, I think this is tree related and it's urban forest related. You know, so I think we can continue to have discussion. If the council would like additional information on what kind of services the city provides, you know, in terms of tree care, just anything from disposal of Christmas trees to picking up tree and yard waste, I can certainly bring that information back to you.
And I think we're going to, at the end of the meeting, we're going to ask for future agenda items. We could put that on there and then ask you to bring more details to the next meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything further on this agenda?
It's going.
Thank you, council members. Public comment on this item? Agenda item G, discussion only regarding the removal of two large cottonwood trees in Fuji Park recently in Carson City. Jens?
I think they're gone, so.
They're gone. Discussion. I asked for Roger to bring, you know, there was some discussion on our social media page from concerned citizens, so I asked Roger to bring the report that was done on the trees just for the council's review and for record advisement. Roger, the trees are gone. Oh, great. Any other discussion? And I'm trying to move, I think it's a topic that could have been discussed, you know, before they were removed. I think maybe you guys, you know, discussed all that and the great loss and the owl's nest and things like that. So I'm just, we just had it on the agenda. We just wanted to report that the trees are indeed gone. I asked Roger to bring the report for everyone's review, and I think we're good. If there's any other discussion, any public comment? Okay, moving right along, we're going to do agenda item 4, non-action items, A, reports only. No discussion. We'll start down here with Terry. Status reports, announcements, requests for information, go.
I just noticed that some of the trees started blooming in January, especially things like silver maples. I've seen globe willows with new green leaves on them. Our season seems to be starting at least a couple of months ahead of time. So, flowers, the same thing. I started getting flowers in mid-January, so just reporting early season.
Yes. Nothing to report.
Well, I think I talked a lot for
We're almost to future agenda items. Roy. Gary. Oh. Okay. Okay, here's a couple things I have to report. Gosh. I have... Report only. Carson City does have landscape standards, if the city didn't know that. The landscape standards, and I'm going to future agendize this, but for reports only, I want the citizens to know that there are landscape standards drafted by the Carson City Shade Tree Council in 2007, and they're on our website. And it only pertains to new construction of multifamily residential units and institutional uses, office uses, commercial uses, industrial uses, and public uses. It's a very thick packet of landscape standards, and it was a huge accomplishment for the council back in 2007. So you're going to be hearing more about that on future agenda items. Second is the Carson City Shade Tree Council was awarded a tree inventory grant from the Nevada Division of Forestry. We received $18,141 to do a tree inventory, and you're going to hear more about that in our next agenda in our next meeting. My third report is I just wanted to pass out the WaterWise measures that we put out, the council put out in August of last year. I have a bunch of copies. I meant to pass them out earlier, but it's the WaterWise measures we put out about minimizing usage and maximizing savings. Mm-hmm. And it also has the list of medium, heavy, and low drought tolerant trees. So I'm going to put that into the record and share that. I just want the community to know that we have this, these 10 points, and they're so informative.
Yes, they are.
Right, Terry?
Yes, they are.
Fourth, second to last report, the Carson City website has a link to our council. It has a link to things like the roster, which we need to get updated. It has our street tree program link, which I think we need to update that. It shows that we have vacancies on the council. We do have two vacancies on the council. We have a chair right there next to Terry and one next to Roy, right? It also has, a commercial tree list and our landscape standards. So we do have a link on the Carson City website, so I want to encourage everyone. It gives our purpose, our goals, meeting agenda links, and the entire roster, which will be updated for everyone to know. And then the final report is I'd like to let everyone know that the next Board of Supervisors meeting, which is March 5th, I believe, Thursday, March 5th, I'd like to just go before them as a public comment. That's all. That's what I'm going to do. Okay. Anyone else? Reports? Those are all my reports. Okay. Future agenda. A public comment? No, there's no public comment. Out. Yes, there is. Sorry. Public comments on my reports? Yes. Good. Tom? All right.
I have the name of the person on Ormsby Boulevard and phone number. I'll have to go to my computer to get it, but I can get it to you tomorrow, probably. So, yeah, I can do that.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Do you know him personally?
I don't want to go off topic, but maybe we can talk.
No.
After.
I spoke to him on the phone. I tracked him down because we were doing a inventory of tree houses in Carson City.
Very good. Okay. Agenda item 5, future agenda items. Okay, so what do we want to put on our future agenda? No discussion. We have a recurring agenda item, which will be on our next one, which is the Fall Tree Care Seminar and the, I guess it should be the Arbor Day celebration. I'm just going to add, since I have the microphone, the landscape standards, discussing them, reviewing them, projects. My concern is projects in the city that might, I don't want to say in violation, that should be using our standards as a resource and presenting those and advising the board on the landscape standards and using them within our city. Then the other thing would be we'll put the tree inventory grant on the agenda. And then, Terry?
I'm hurting.
Okay. So. Jens, future agenda items?
The What's tree it? Care assistance.
Yeah, it's the tree care assistance.
Initiative.
Please. Roy? Nothing. Gary, anything on the next future?
I don't have anything at this time.
Time is a little short until the next meeting, isn't it?
Yeah, I might have a conflict of our April 1st. I got a printout. It normally won't be this way, but I had some schedules in with the Navy. I didn't know Kyle was leaving. Our next meeting, no joke, is April 1st. and the rest of the year is June 3rd, August 5th, October 2nd, and October 7th and December 2nd. With no
schedule.
I have the schedule. Mm-hmm. So putting on the agenda, I don't know, I'll just make discussion. There might be a conflict for me on April 1st. Meaning you guys could run it or we could postpone it. I know it's inconvenient, but I really appreciate.
When Thanks for reminding me. I almost forgot. Yeah. I have conflicts with two other meetings that I have on our regular meeting days on Wednesday, the first Wednesday of every other month. Is it a possibility to move this meeting to another date permanently? Because I've tried to move the other meetings, and that just doesn't work.
It's very difficult. This room and this building are heavily scheduled, and to try to move this to another date is very difficult.
I think we'll talk off after the meeting or just another day about meeting schedules.
Well, I would have thought that as a future agenda item to talk. I forgot about mentioning it earlier.
Okay. Well, we'll just talk about that. Okay. 6, public comments. Thanks for public comments that we've had. Item 7, for possible action on adjournment.
I move that we adjourn this meeting of the Carson City Shade Tree Council.
I second the motion.
Can I be faster, Karen? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
So that wasn't going to work.
So,
Julian Dunster,
the instructor?
I don't know.
I'll be calling you.